right, if you have your Bibles, hold them up and let's make our proclamation about the Word this morning. Say it with me. I'll choose to believe it over my circumstances. I'll choose to trust it, whether I see the results immediately or not. This is God speaking to me today in Jesus' name. Amen. So back in 2020, it was probably around March or April, the Lord spoke to me and said 2021 for New Beginnings was going to be the year of evangelism. Well, I didn't want to put the word evangelism on our bracelets because you would be saying, I'm not really quite sure what that means. And then people would stop you and say, why does your bracelet say evangelism? And you would say, well, you have to explain it. So we just put on the bracelet Reach One 2021 as a reminder to you. And when people ask, what does it mean to reach one in 2021? Well, our church is actively reaching out to the world around us. So let me ask a question. How many of you know somebody that does not have a relationship with Jesus Christ? Anybody know somebody? I think we all know somebody, right? A coworker, a friend, a neighbor. I'm pretty sure my entire block doesn't know Jesus. You been on my block? Especially this one neighbor, but I'm just going to leave that alone. So the word evangelize just simply means this. If you just look it up in the dictionary, it just simply means seeking to convert or cause someone to trust in Jesus. Now, there was a time in the church at Corinth where some of the new disciples were saying, well, I'm a disciple of Paul, and I'm a disciple of Apollos, and so on. And so the Apostle Paul, to correct this wrong verbiage that was going on within the church, says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. He said, I planted seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. Verse 7, he says, so neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. Verse 8, the one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their own labor. Verse 9, it says, for we are co-workers in God's service. You are God's field, God's building. As we embark on this year of Each One, Reach One theme, we must keep in mind, and I want you to keep in mind this, you can't save anybody. You know, I think so often as we, sometimes we'll take this as a burden that I need to save the world around us as Christians, right? But I want you to know, you don't have the power to save anybody. Who does that? Jesus, right? The only one that can. We are simply like Paul said to the church at Corinth, we're either going to plant seed or water seed. And then they say, on average, it takes the average person 7.5 times to hear the gospel, the good news, before they will respond one way or the other. 7.5 times. So you could be the first one or the fifth one or the eighth one, but you never know. It takes on average 7.5 times for people to hear the good news before they respond. We're just workers in his field, right? At New Beginnings, the vision God gave us 10.5 years ago was to do what? Reach and teach. Now, we all, within the church, we all want our church to grow up and become a mature set of believers, right? Well, we all do. And our goal, and one of the things God showed me early on in our church was that he didn't want our church to be a church of people who didn't know who they were, who didn't know who he was, and so on, who wanted us to help you grow up. But I want you to understand, before you can grow up, you got to know. You can't grow till you know. And we have to introduce you to the person of Jesus Christ first before we can get you to grow. And keep this in mind. The world out there is big. There are, what they say, about 7 billion people with a B in the world, right? And of the 7 billion with a B, if Jesus came back today, 5 billion would be going to hell. Now, as Christians, you go, wow, I didn't think it was that bad. It is that bad. The problem is that you live in this little bubble called the North Shore. And in your little bubble, you got your little circles of Christian friends and people you talk to and your little Facebook followers and stuff like that. And in that group, they all seem to agree with you. Cross that bridge. There are more of them than there are of us. I remember years ago, a guy that I know was going to plant a church in Minneapolis, Minnesota. And in doing so, he asked to meet with several pastors of large churches in that area. And he told them he was there to plant a church. And they all, we don't need another church here. We have plenty of churches here in Minneapolis, St. Paul area. And he said, really? He said, do you have any idea the demographics for your cities? Well, these guys had no idea. And so he said, if I were to plant 1,000, 10,000 member churches, we still would only reach about 20% of the population. I want you to know, there are not enough churches. There are not enough people out there evangelizing. There are not enough people out in the streets talking about what Jesus has done for their lives. So here's the question. I think sometimes when we look at the prospect of evangelizing the world, 5 billion people, you think, man, that is mind-boggling. How are we going to do this? One soul at a time. We all just raised our hand that we know somebody. And if that's one, and that one somebody's name is popping into your little brain right now, then that's the person you need to probably start with. It could be a coworker, a friend, it could be a relative. Uncle Joe, Uncle, you know, Aunt Susie, whatever, and start there. One soul at a time. There was a day that Jesus was going into a town, and he saw this guy up in a tree. This guy, Zacchaeus, had climbed a tree to see Jesus over the crowd. And he said, Zacchaeus, I'm coming to your house to hang out today. And so he went to Zacchaeus' house that day, and this is the words that Jesus spoke to Zacchaeus. In Luke chapter 9, 19, verse 9, he said, today, salvation has come to your house, because this man, he's telling the people, is this man too is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man, here it is, came to seek and save the lost. We all know somebody lost. We all know somebody going to hell. And I, as a Christian man or woman, that idea, that prospect should make you shudder. It should cause you to rise up and want to immediately go and say something, plant some seeds or water some seeds. Here's how Jesus lived his life, and here's how really the church has evangelized for years. And so I'm going to give you four quick, simple things that you can do and we can do as a church to evangelize the lost in your families. Now, these are not on your handout. This is all extra stuff. So this is, I haven't even gotten into my message yet. First one is this: build relationships. You know, it's been studied that the only real effective way to evangelize or to tell somebody about Jesus is to first develop a relationship with them. John Maxwell, the famous leadership guru, said this: people don't care how much you know till they know how much you care. You know that idea on the streets, turn or burn, sanctify or French fry. It really doesn't work. It's not effective. It has, matter of fact, you know, it's never been effective. But if you tell people that there's a God who loves you so much that he sent his son to die in your place so that he could have a relationship with you, that'll preach. Build relationships. It's the first important tool in your arsenal to have the opportunity to share Jesus with somebody. Build a relationship. If their soul's important, then take the time to have coffee. Have some lunch. Visit with them. Get to know them. Let them get to know you. And let them see the Jesus in you. The second thing that you can do is get engaged in your church. Listen, if this is your church, get engaged in your church. The more you get engaged in the life and in the vision of New Beginnings, the more you'll reach out to the people out there and say, hey, why don't you come to my church? If you've ever been through our Get Started class, one of the things I say every time we go through it is, this is not my church. People often refer to New Beginnings as Pastor Eddie's church. I go to Pastor Eddie's church. It's not my church. I just work here. I'm just the pastor. I want you to This is your church. So say, I want to invite you to my church. And then when you invite them to your church, we're going to make sure that we teach them well, that we teach them, that we give them the gospel in simple, plain terms so that they can make a decision for Jesus just like you did, just like I did one day. And then the last thing that we're going to do is we're going to have inclusive events. We're going to have inclusive events as a church. And so barring any craziness with COVID, like in 2020, we had all these events planned for 2020, and we did none of them because the government shut everything down. So thankfully, we were still able to have church, but all the extracurriculars had to be ceased. The first one we're planning, I believe, is our Easter egg hunt. That's going to happen on Easter Sunday. You can't participate, but your kids can. During Easter services here at New Beginnings, your kids will be on an Easter egg hunt out back. And you're gonna go pick them up after church. They're gonna have a bag full of Easter eggs and candy. Yee! Let's go home. You're like, can I leave them? After our Easter egg hunt, the next big event we're going to have is Mud Bug Day in May. We're going to get back to boiling some crawfish, and you inviting your friends to all-you-can-eat crawfish. Going to be awesome, right out here in the field. We already ordered the tent, tables, chairs. Mr. Roy set up, ready to roll. All right. All right, so after Jesus walked the earth for 3 years with his disciples, and he taught them, and they saw him do ministry each and every day, you know, he went to the grave, resurrected. You know, he had to remind them again of their mission. He had to remind them again of what was going to happen. He was preparing them for the next phase. He left them and he left us the famous verse of scripture in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 through 20, known as the Great Commission, is what it says. Jesus is getting his disciples ready for his departure, and he says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. And then again, in Mark chapter 16, verse 15, he says basically the same thing. He said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. You see, he tells us in Matthew chapter 28 to go, and he tells us again in Mark 16 to go, and to do what? Preach the gospel. Bring the good news to the people around you. And the Apostle Paul writes in Romans chapter 10, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So it tells us right there that when we go and preach, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But look what it continues to say. How then can they call on the one they've not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Look at your neighbor and tell him, say, your feet are pretty. See, we are called to go. And in being, all right, enough of that. Right here. You'll get carried away with all this stuff. We're called to go. And at first, I want to teach you five things about being called to go today that I want you to kind of wrap your head around. The first one is this. Being called to go is not optional. It's a mandate Jesus left us in Matthew 28, 19. He said, therefore, go. And in Mark 16, he said, go into all creation and preach the gospel. Listen, being called to go is not just a nice suggestion. He said, look, if you're out and about today and you're feeling up to it, somebody just say, hey, you like the person next to you, they're pretty nice. You feeling charitable today? Share me with them if you're up to it. He said, no, when you're out and about, as you go, as you are going about your daily lives, running your errands and going to the grocery and meeting your family and friends and seeing people, tell them about me. That's what it's all about. Go as you go. It's a mandate for every believer. So we often think that evangelizing is the work of the evangelist, which comes from Ephesians chapter 4, where it says that God gave some to be apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers. You see, it's written right there. Listen, those are offices of the church. But I'm telling you that there's a calling on every believer's life to be to evangelize, not in a position within the church, but as a believer, we have a calling, we have a mandate to share Jesus with others, not in office, but in function. It's the evangelist. The euangelistes is the Greek word, and it just simply means preacher of the gospel. You say, well, I'm not a preacher. Can you talk? And if you can't talk with sound, can you sign? And if you can sign or you can talk, guess what? You're a preacher. If you're a Christian, you're a preacher. And the good news is in you. You know the good news, and you can be a deliverer of the good news. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, Peter, writing to the church, said this, but in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give a reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. Peter, writing to the body of Christ, telling followers of Jesus, first, to always put Jesus first. And then, when you put Jesus first in your life, you know what will happen? People will begin to see the transformation in your life, and then they're going to start asking, tell me about what's going on in your life. Why do you act different? I noticed when you went through a tough time, you didn't respond like everybody else. When you went through this situation, you didn't respond like everybody else responds to stuff like this. Why? And then the doors open for you to walk through and tell them, well, you see, I accepted Jesus as my Savior. And it happened to me about a little over 20 years ago. I was self-employed, and in my business, I had accepted Christ. My employees didn't know, I was at work one day about 2 weeks later, and one by one, they came into my office and asked me, what's wrong with you? I said, nothing, I feel fine. What do you mean? Well, you're acting different. I didn't even realize I was acting different. They said, well, we haven't heard you curse anyone out or throw anyone out of your office in weeks. I mean, what's going on? I was acting different. It was the Jesus in me, because there used to be the devil in me, and now the devil's gone, and Jesus had taken up residence, and so they noticed something was different. Well, when the devil gets out and Jesus gets in, guess what? They're going to say, something's different. Listen, say this with me. Say, I'm called to bring the good news. And I want you to listen. It's not optional. The second thing you need to know about bringing the good news, about you being an evangelist, is it is powerful. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus, again, he's preparing his disciples for his departure. Now, he knew, remember this, he had called fishermen and tax collectors. He called guys who were not qualified to do the job. I mean this with the most loving and sincere heart. Not a lot of y'all qualified. I want you to know, if I had a mirror right here, I'd be looking at the mirror and I'd be saying the same thing. You're not qualified. You know, I'm really not qualified. But I want you to understand, Jesus doesn't call qualified people. He qualifies called people. This is what he said in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you waiting, you follower, you disciple, you waiting here in this upper room for me to send the promise, you're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And then this is what's going to happen. And then you'll be my witnesses, my mouthpiece on the earth. And you'll be my mouthpiece to where? Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. I love that he doesn't take this task, this really insurmountable task, and give it to people who couldn't make it. He knew they couldn't make it happen. He knew we couldn't make it happen on our own. That's why he said, wait here, I'm going to send my Spirit. Because without my Spirit, you're just going to go out there in your own flesh, and you're going to fail. And the moment you meet resistance, you're going to run. And the moment things come up, you're gonna quit, and you're never going to see this thing through without a little assistance. The Holy Spirit is the power of God at work in the lives of his disciples. Listen, he said he wanted to baptize us. He wants to, the word in the Greek is the word baptizo. It means to immerse. God wants to completely immerse you in his presence so that you can go in his power. Listen, without the presence, there is no power. See, we want to go before we got charged up. All right, God, I got you. I'm ready to go. I remember being a brand new believer and God calling me to the ministry. And I was ready to go, but I wasn't equipped to go. So I had to sit and I had to learn and I had to listen for years under somebody, right? And began to grow. I had to go to seminary. I had to begin to expand my knowledge. And then on top of all that training, then on top of all that, God said, and I'm going to give you the last piece of the puzzle. Here's the most important piece of the puzzle. Go in my power. Boom. And he baptized me. He immersed me in his spirit so that I could go and do what I could not go and do on my own. The Holy Spirit, the spiritual and physical and emotional empowering mechanism that allows ordinary men and women to be used by God to do extraordinary things. You know, Jesus has been using ordinary people for thousands of years to do extraordinary things. It is powerful. Number three, so we learned first, it's not optional. Number two, it is powerful. Number three, look at me. I want you to look right here. You can do it. I know what you're thinking. Man, I'm not equipped to do this. The moment somebody asks me the question I don't know the answer to, I'm going to feel like an idiot, and I'm not going to know what to say, and my credibility is going to get shot. They're going to think I'm an idiot. How can you follow this Jesus? You don't even know the answer. Here's why you can do it. Jesus said, all authority in heaven, on heaven and earth has been given to me, therefore go. He gives you his authority, his power to go. You can do it. Listen, I love the fact that he doesn't give a list of qualifications in this scripture in order for us to go. It doesn't say if you have this gift or you have that gift or you're good at this or you're good at that. It just says go. If you're a follower of Jesus, I'm telling you the mandate is for you and I to go. In Romans 10, the verses that we read a minute ago, Romans 10, 13 through 15, Paul tells the church that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And in verse 14, he says that in order for them to believe, they have to hear, and they can't hear unless someone preaches to them. And we won't and we can't preach unless we are sent by God. And he says, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Notice the words throughout those verses, everyone and they. These verses sound inclusive as if Paul is saying that it is for many to be done by many. It's not for one. It's not for just the pastor. If it was up to me to evangelize, we'd be in trouble. I only have so many hours in a day, and I have to sleep a few. But together, guys, together, join hands together, we can evangelize this area. We can evangelize our families and our friends, and we can make a difference together more than I can by myself. This call is for the church to be engaged in evangelism. Most people think they can't do it. They don't know enough. Can't defend my faith. What if the person asks me a question? I don't know the answer. Here's the question. If you have one of these, raise your hand. Does everybody in here have a testimony? You have a testimony, raise your hand. That testimony is all you need. How many of you have ever written down your testimony or had the opportunity to share your testimony with somebody else? Anybody ever got the? It is almost as powerful as you preaching the word to them. Not as powerful, but you understand what I'm saying? Because you can argue the word with me all day, but you can't argue my experience. Now you can say I'm crazy, but you still can't argue my experience. And then once you get to know me and you realize I really ain't crazy, you can say he really is not crazy. He's a little extreme, but he's not really crazy. You know what? I better start thinking about the things he's saying because there must be some validity to that. Here's your testimony. This is who I was before I met Jesus. And then a friend invited me to a small group or to church, and that pastor that day was talking about the love of God and so on, and I came to know Jesus and he became my Lord and Savior. And now this is my life after Jesus. That's your testimony. however that looks. You heard Pastor Carla and I give and I talking a little bit about our testimonies a few weeks ago. Hers is way different than mine, but no less valid. It's still her testimony, and it's her walk with God is her walk with God, and my walk with God is mine, and yours is yours. But no one can dispute that. I have a challenge for you today. Go home and write down your testimony. Make it clear. Make it plain, easy to understand, so that the next time someone asks you to give a reason for the hope that you have, you jump right in and say, let me tell you what happened to me. And you give them your testimony and watch what will happen. Say this with me. Say, I can do it. Number four, this is important. He will be with you in it. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 20, at the end of the verse, it says, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Then if you turn over to Luke chapter 12, right when Jesus calls his disciples from their former places of work, and he calls them all, and he calls them to serve him and follow him, this is what he says. When you're brought before, Luke 12, verse 11, when you're brought before synagogues, rulers, and authorities, do not worry about how you will defend yourselves or what you will say. For the Holy Spirit will teach you at that time what you should say. Jesus is telling his followers in both passages that he will be with you as you go, and he'll tell you what to say. So now you're worried about what do I say? You don't need to worry. If you're a follower of Jesus, baptized with the Holy Spirit, you don't need to worry about what to say. The Holy Spirit will be your mouthpiece at the time you need it. So one day I was in my office several years ago, and a guy from church was on a job site. He did construction work, and he called me. Hey, Pastor Eddie, what you doing? So I'm working in the office. Hey, listen, I'm talking to a friend at work today about Jesus, and he doesn't believe anything I have to say. And he goes, and I can't answer some of his questions, so can you talk to him? Before I could say no, he puts the phone. He gives the phone to the guy, and the guy's on the phone. Yeah, my name's so-and-so, and he begins to ask me questions. I didn't get to prepare for those questions. I didn't even have my computer open to begin to search for the answers to the questions. He just started firing questions, and I started firing answers. Before the conversation was over, he said, oh, I see. Now, I don't know whether he became a believer or not, but I want you to know, we planted seeds and watered seeds all because I was willing to give a reason for the hope that I have that day. Without preparing, without having an opportunity to get ready. Because you think, I better go get ready. Listen, he's with you in it no matter where you go. And he'll always give you the words to speak when you need to speak. And lastly, number five. Listen, this is important for you to wrap your head around. How many of you know we live in a crazy world? You guys see, you watch the news. And you ever thought you'd see stuff like that in America? I'll be honest with you. I never thought I'd see a bomb blow up at a federal building or airplanes run into buildings and things like that. But we did. This world needs Jesus more than ever. And if we, the church, decide we're going to go, this is what's going to happen. The world around us will change if we go. The world around you will change if you go. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. It's one of our key verses here at New Beginnings. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone, the new is here. Verse 18, it says, all this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us, the church, the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors. As though God were making his appeal through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Verse 17, one of our key verses, we're reminded that when we come to Jesus, and we believe that we believe this strongly, that when a person comes to Jesus, he or she is literally changed transformed by the power of God. God transforms our lives and changes us. We're no longer the same. And then he puts on us the message of reconciliation. We have it, what did I say a minute ago? We have a testimony. That testimony says, hey, I was reconciled to God. That enmity that God had with me, is he no longer has, because now I'm a child of God. Now I'm highly favored. I'm secure. I know who I am because I know who he is. If you want and desire to see people's lives change forever, then be willing to go. Jesus has been sending men and women for 2,000 years to go. And that mandate has not changed. That mandate is alive today as it was when Jesus spoke it thousands of years ago. The good news is life-changing. Can I get an amen? Amen. Hey, did it change your life? Amen. Wouldn't you like to see it change somebody else's life? You know, the sad fact is that a very small percentage of Christians actually share their faith. Very small percentage. You see, instead of evangelizing the lost, we, the church, become critics of the saved. She's doing this and he's doing that. A lady came to our pastor years ago and she said, Pastor, I'm leaving the church. And he said, why would you leave the church? You've been a member here for years. And she says, well, you know, I come to church on Sundays and I see people praising God and worshiping, you know, raising their hands and all. And she says, and I see those same people out in the community and they act like hell out there. He said, before you leave, would you do me a favor? She said, sure, I'll do you a favor. He gave her a glass of water and he filled it all the way to the top. And he handed it to her like this and he said, would you take this water and walk around the outside of the church twice and try not to spill any? How many of you ever try to walk from the kitchen to the living room without spilling your coffee? And when you're looking at it, you're spilling it everywhere, right? I just ignore it, and all of a sudden, it's fine. Anyway, she walked outside, and she began to walk around the church, took two laps around holding that water, came back. The pastor said, let me ask you a series of questions. First, did you notice what a beautiful day it is? No, sir, I really didn't notice. I was too busy focused on the water. You notice those pretty new flowers we just planted in front of the church and the beautiful landscaping and how green the grass is now that it's springtime and the trees are blooming? And she says, no, sir, I didn't notice any of those things. He said, you know, coming to church is a lot like carrying that water around. Many times we come and we focus on all the wrong things. And we focus on all the wrong things, and then what happens is we miss God's calling on our lives or God's touch on our life to go and do something great because we're too worried about what everybody else is doing or spilling the water. Also, sometimes we'll be sitting there, you know, maybe somebody's singing off key around you, you know, and you're like, man, it's really distracting. I'm having trouble worshiping today because this guy surely can't sing. Or maybe there's a kid playing in the back row because his mom is wanting to keep her child next to her. There's nothing wrong with that. And so he's coloring or she's coloring back there and it's distracting to you. Man, I wish that mother put her baby in the nursery. That's what we got a nursery for. Hey, church ain't in the back, bro. Church is Jesus. We got to fix our focus. And I believe that if we just fixed our focus, God would do some things in us and through us that we'd be blown away. See, if our focus is right, the power of God can work in us like we've never seen him work before. All about focus. Would you stand with me? So we are called to go. Listen, church, we're called. If you're watching us online, you're called. Just because you're not here doesn't mean you're not called. As a matter of fact, wherever you are in this world, you're called. This is a big world out there. 7 billion people. 5 billion who don't know. Turn around and just talk to somebody. I promise you, I guarantee you, there's a really good chance they don't know. We're called to go. It's not optional. It is powerful. You can do it. He'll be with you in it, and the world will change if you go. Listen, today at New Beginnings, we are performing pedicures. We want you to leave with pretty feet. I don't know what your feet look like when you came in. for a lot of you guys. But for you ladies, I'm sure, you know, if your husband looks at you and says, honey, your feet are beautiful. It probably is true. But if you look at your husband and tell him his feet are pretty, it might be a lie. But I want everybody to leave today with pretty feet. Equipped with this calling, the knowledge of this calling, and saying, I am equipped to go into this world around me and to bring this good news. And I am taking this seriously. And I'm going to make 2021 the year. Forget each one, reach one. I'm going to reach as many as I can and take as many with me as possible because the days are drawing close. If that's you, and you know that, and I know God's called me to talk to people. I know God's called me to evangelize the people around me. If that's you, I want to invite you here to the altar and I want to pray for you today. Y'all spread out a little bit because people are stuck in the house. Wow. Now, imagine this with me. If Jesus left 12 guys, hey, you guys, 11 guys, because one was already dead. You 11 guys go make this happen. Imagine what we can do with all these people. Imagine what the world around us might look like if we actually opened our mouths and said something. So if you would, just raise your hands to heaven. Heavenly Father, you see the hands. These are your hands and feet on the earth. Oh God, I believe you're smiling down upon the people of New Beginnings today. God, knowing that they can make such a difference in the world around them if we'll just open our mouths, if we'll just release upon the people around us the good news that's contained within us. God, right now, I pray for a spirit empowerment today. God, you may pour out your spirit on your people so that they can go and do what you've called them to go and do in an extraordinary way, God. I pray for just supernatural movement of God to happen in the lives of your people as they step out willing to go in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful Sunday. We'll see you next week.